Another special edition of the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreis. Well, every show is a special edition. We get to talk about iRacing, racing in general. We have guests from all facets of racing, from NASCAR, truck series, truck drivers, car drivers, but most of the time it's just regular Joes like you and me that just love to race. You can catch the Sim Racing Podcast live on Twitch. Later on, it'll be uploaded to Spotify, Google, and Amazon. Apple Podcasts, and the video also goes to YouTube. We invite you to listen to the 802 Cup Series podcast, which is Monday nights, 8 p.m. It's usually the day after our Sunday race. If you're interested in joining the 802 Cup Series, we race next-gen cars fixed sets on Monday or Sunday nights at 6:45. Green flag drops at about 7:10. If you're interested, look up 802 iRacing Series on Facebook or go to iRacing League pages, look up 802 Cup Series, ask for an invite, we'll get you in. It's a laid-back league, as a matter of fact, so laid-back this summer, we're recruiting for the whole entire Season 3 until middle of fall for Season 4 starts. And Season 2, we had $700 in prize money. Season 4 is already up to over $1,000 in prize money. But let's get back to what this is about tonight, the Sim Racing Podcast. You know, these guys have been trying to get on here for quite a while, and we almost got on, but I couldn't get their information loaded up because of my lack of technical expertise. So they're back. Tonight, I'd like to welcome Justin Thaler and Eric Thaler, and they are the owners of Midwest Motorsports. Good evening, guys. How you doing?
Doing good, Greg. Appreciate you having us. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I know we've been talking back and forth for like the last couple weeks getting all this together. I appreciate all the information you send me. Certainly makes doing it a little easier. So who's going to go first and talk about when you got into racing and how? I'm sure there's a lot of crossover because I saw a lot of your bio. It says, see what the other guy said. And then I go over to the other guy. It says, what did he say in the first place? Oh, that's okay. You can go ahead and say that. So Justin, why don't you start? Tell me when you got involved in racing and about what age and what was the first racing that you got into?
Well, I was going to defer to Eric, but I guess if you're calling on me, I have to answer, huh?
Oh, you don't have to. You can defer.
No, you know, growing up from a young age, I can remember all the times being just a little kid and, you know, lazy Sunday afternoon, and there was cars going around on the television.
Yep.
Dad's sitting in the favorite comfy chair in the living room, and I really didn't know what the heck was going on. To me, it was just some cars going around really fast in a circle. From there, it's pretty much just been growing up with fans within the family and different friends, and then kind of broadening you know, the different series and disciplines of racing that I've become a fan of today.
So you mentioned you're from the upstate New York area. You know all the big argument about where upstate is, right? Whether it begins in Poughkeepsie, Albany, or out where you guys are from, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. upstate New York is pretty much anything that is New York but doesn't have city at the end of it, in my opinion.
That's true. So you mentioned that you guys went to like Utica Rome Speedway, Oswego Speedway.
Yep, absolutely. So I would say our dad's side of the family actually is, how far is Utica Rome? Probably stone thrower?
Yeah, it's not far. You can hear the cars around the check. From our grandparents' house.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's a nice speedway. I had a chance to get out there once. And like I said, it's about a little over 2 hours from where we are. I'm just south of Albany in a little town called Coxsackie. We're famous for a throughway exit and a virus and the state prison. So so we got a chance to go out there. That's a nice track.
You know what? A couple of years ago, we did the Kenny Wallace experience, and we got to tow it around, swing a little dirt out there ourselves. So,
that's cool.
It was cool being, you know, a little kid going to those races every now and then when we'd be up there in the summer to visit, and then jumping on the opportunity to actually, you know, experience what it was like to drive a dirt car around there was really cool.
Yep. So you said your dad spent a lot of time at Utica Rome growing up, huh?
Yeah, Dad spent a lot of time there, you know, watching Richie Evans and those guys back in the day. And, you know, he tells stories about when they used to have the drag strip back behind that dirt track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used to go back there, ride snowmobiles and stuff when he was growing up. So, you know, it was pretty cool stories to hear that from Dad and then, you know, go out there as we were growing up and you know, trying to envision, you know, the drag strip that was behind the track too. You know, it was pretty neat.
Yeah. I've got a lot of family down in, just outside of Augusta, Georgia. And there's a little town called Jackson. And they had basically, you know, the family drag strip, like a lot of small towns do, where you could literally go there, take your car on a family car on a Saturday night and race within your class. So I took my son down there probably 4 or 5 years ago, a couple of years before COVID, to surprise my parents when they went down for Mom's birthday. And then there was a family reunion. I go, you got to see this little rinky dink drag strip they got down here. Well, let me tell you, that is now one of the regional favorites down in the Southeast. They have done this place up. I mean, Sam's like, this is really nice. I said, yeah, you basically sat on the back of a, you know, top of a garbage can for a seat and it was all dirt. And this place, they redid it, all paved, all nice grasses and gardens. So some of them are still kicking there.
Sure.
Yeah, there's one out by me in Salem, Ohio called Quaker City. And,
okay.
Me and Eric went up there a couple times, you know, when,
uh-huh.
when we're still in our late teens, but we had a pretty cool experience there where, you know, guys were just running whatever they drove to the track. So.
Yeah. That's cool. You ever get to Tony Stewart's place out there?
Not yet. I'm sure we'll end up there eventually. It's pretty much a straight line across from where I'm at in Ohio. And,
oh, that's cool.
Over at Eldora.
Eldora, yeah.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours, 3.5 probably, just like pretty much a straight line across the state of Ohio.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, don't feel bad about having to guess at names. I knew I could not remember the name. Trust me, guys, when you hit 60, your memory goes like crazy. So I've had a year to practice trying to get it back, and it's not working too well. So how about down there in Tennessee? Do you hit any dirt tracks down there or ovals or drag strips?
Yeah, I mean, I got a nice little third mile that's close to where we live. It's a, you know, they got some little legends that go around these tracks and whatnot. But you know, the talk of the town is obviously the fairgrounds.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've been there a few times and saw some late models there. You know, we went to Dad come down and we went to the SRX race when it was there a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
And it's, man, it's an amazing racetrack with the history and nostalgia, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I really hope that SMI can bring it back to its glory.
Yeah.
You know, but it's definitely something that a lot of the people around the track are fighting. But, you know, it's for race fans and people that love race history, it's definitely has that nostalgia to it.
Yeah, we have something like that going on up here. We have Lebanon Valley dirt track. It's a half mile high bank dirt track, and all the citiots that come up from New York City first during 9/11 and then during COVID, they all bought country homes. Racetrack's been there for 50 something years. They all start complaining, and when the Pitchfork Mafia shows up at the town court, the citiots get back in their cars and go home pretty quick because the Pitchfork Mafia is not going to put up with the citiots complaining about a racetrack that's been there forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. You know, the track's been there and, you know, I'm sure that folks that live around it haven't lived there all of, you know, all the track's life. So,
yeah.
You know, those folks that are complaining about it knew it was there when they bought the house. So,
yep.
You know, it's something funny that goes on, you know.
Oh, it's just like the airports.
Yeah.
You know, they
same deal.
Yeah. People move from Manhattan out to Long Island.
You know, we tried to get out to the Super Speedway, you know, when they announced they were coming out here, mm-hmm. Back out here to Nashville Super Speedway. You know, we've been going to that ever since, you know, they came back and, you know, we experienced the Music City Grand Prix with IndyCar downtown.
Oh, cool.
That was pretty neat to see.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of racing around me. You know, there's a really cool dirt track about an hour and a half south of me, you know, down towards Murfreesboro. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, there is a lot of racing, you know, being in the south and whatnot, too. So
yeah, you're probably not too far. You're probably not too far from Charlotte then, right? Just a couple hours or maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, it's about a 6-hour car ride.
Okay.
You know, you get to Charlotte, I'm about 4 hours from Bristol.
Ah, okay.
We're 5 hours from Gateway.
Oh, wow.
4 hours from Indianapolis.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm pretty much centered in a great spot. 3 from Talladega. I mean, it's
yo, you can't beat
that. It's a pretty decent spot.
You can't beat that. Did they have the tracks open during COVID?
Not really.
Yeah.
You know, they were pretty much closed.
Yeah.
And then they went back to a 25% capacity, basically. So we went out to Bristol on 2020, and it was 25% capacity. And it was amazing. Yeah, I mean, you can sprawl out, do whatever you want, right? But you know, unfortunately for NASCAR and the track as well, they weren't, you know, pulling in the revenue that they would have on a normal year. But you know, from a race fan's perspective, it was pretty cool to you know, just be able to be comfortable
exactly,
you know, just spread out
and get back to seeing racing. Pretty... Yeah, because King Cuomo up here had us totally shut down, so we had to go up to New Hampshire to Loudoun, and you know, you could get like, I don't know what it was, 3 or 4 seats together, and then it was 6 feet around where you couldn't sit. And the governor up there, he was great. He goes, guys, we're not open because anything the government did. We're open because of what you did. Thanks a lot. And then he had all the dirt tracks shut. And so my son and I would drive about 3.5 hours to Vermont, 120 miles one way Sunday nights just to go watch the dirt races. So it was it was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have a first-time chatter on the line here. It says, ask the boys about the go-kart. Sounds like your dad is on there.
I want to hear that one.
We had a go-kart growing up. Dad bought us a go-kart.
Uh-huh.
It was rough.
Yeah,
put a lot of work into it.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, it didn't have a cage on it. It was... you know, a steel go-kart, we had a 5-horse motor on it. We lived on a cul-de-sac and, you know, every little, we, you know, fly that thing up and down up and down the road over to the cul-de-sac, turn around, come back to the house. Right. And, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of times, that, you know, one of us was driving it and the other wanted to get on and you know, maybe we didn't let each other.
That's typical.
It was great. There were maybe just 2 houses on that road.
Oh, that's not too bad.
You know, when we had this go-kart, so there wasn't traffic to worry about.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. And, hell, that thing was probably 3 inches off the ground.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's definitely low.
Like no padding, whatever. And you know, if you ran to the side of the road a little bit, get in the gravel and kind of kick the rear tires off the road just enough into the ditch, and you can feel all those bumps, you know, as you're kind of sliding along the side of the road. But that was
had
a lot of fun in that thing.
Yeah, but when you're little and it's your first race car, you think you're driving a Formula One, don't you? It's just like it's the cat's meow.
It was, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So it sounds like you had some pretty cool neighbors that didn't give you too much trouble.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet when we were growing up in our neighborhood. That's for sure.
Oh, that's good.
You know, until we got outside, but that was a different story.
Yep, you're the second one that mentioned a little go kart. I forgot who it was, but it was an episode from last year. Same story. Dad bought him a little golf cart golf cart. Yeah. See, when you get 60, go-karts are now golf carts. So Dad bought him a little go-kart, and he said the same thing, like a 5-horsepower lawnmower engine on the back that you pulled with the string and stuff like that. And he mentioned that mom was watching, and the kids spun out and got the road rash and everything, and that was the end of that go-kart until 4 years later when Dad bought them their first car for the dirt oval.
Yeah, that'll do it. Mom watching will do it every time.
Exactly.
He ruins everything with fun for him.
Yeah, don't they? Oh, my goodness. Get in here and do your homework. No, I want to be a mechanic. That is my homework. So when did you guys go to your first NASCAR race?
Oh, gosh.
My first one was probably around when I was maybe 12, 13 out at Mansfield in Ohio when the truck series was racing there.
Oh, cool.
Probably mine. Eric, I don't know when you went first.
Yeah, Mansfield would have been the same. The last one I remember, really, really getting into it was the first year that we went to Bristol.
Yeah. Now, is
Bristol's really what drew me into it.
Got it. Is Bristol all it's cracked up to be? Because they say it's like it ranks up there with Talladega, Watkins Glen, and Daytona. Is it worth being? It's worth going.
Bristol is everything that everybody says it is.
Okay,
it's a track that gets your heart racing. It's a track that you see action everywhere. It's something that you're watching everything all at once and trying to focus in on, your favorite driver, but then sure. All of a sudden you're watching another battle that's happening in the back of the pack. I mean, it's amazing.
That's cool.
Anywhere you sit in that place, you can see everybody.
Yeah, kind of like Martinsville.
Yeah,
it sounds like Martinsville. We've been there twice.
Yeah.
And that's pretty... How loud is Bristol? Because I got to tell you, Martinsville is like sticking your ear in the back of a 747 engine when it's taken off.
It's pretty deafening.
Yeah, it's definitely loud. We had last year we had gone down for gotten there just as Cup cars were qualifying, and we were standing on the fence and watching them qualify and whatnot. Yeah. And I mean, you can just it's just amazing the way the sound bounces off that stadium, and then there's mountains behind it, so you're literally sitting in a bowl.
One picture where there's three of you in the photograph, and it's daytime, and I can see that mountain in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, when it's green flag, and you gotta get up to get another beer or something, you might want to bring some earplugs. Once you take a headset off or something like that, it's so loud, it's great, and it just goes around the track. And then it kind of dies off, and then you hear it start to build up again, and then it just like hits you.
Crazy. Oh wow, that's crazy. Justin, I got something here that you were. Oh, the Rusty Wallace experience. Okay, we did talk about that. So let's either one of you jump in. Dream car that you'd want to drive, what would that be? Either a road car or a race car.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jeez, a road car. If I had the opportunity to get my hands on a 67 GT500, I'd be all over it. Mustangs have always been, I guess, a nostalgia thing for me. I love old Mustangs. In a race car. I would love to get in an Xfinity car and just let me go wild in it. Those things on the sim are amazing to drive.
Oh, I love them. They are so cool.
I love them to death. So, from a racing standpoint, it would definitely be an Xfinity car.
Gotcha. Well, I can understand the Mustang thing. The Camaro kind of went out of favor. They took that out of production twice now, and they kept on making the Mustang forever.
Yeah. Yeah, they did, man. And that's that one's, you know, interesting. I'm kind of wondering how long that'll be. You know, they come out with the electric Mustang, which resembles nothing of a Mustang.
Exactly.
You know, and yeah.
That's personal now, really.
The other pimple on the Mustang's history is was during the gas crisis in the early 70s when they came out with the Mustang 2, and it looked more like a Ford Maverick, or the looked more like a Pinto than a Mustang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. Definitely when they stuck the square headlights in them suckers was the black eye to the Mustang community.
So who didn't answer yet? Favorite car?
That'd be me. Road car? Yeah, I'll probably get a lot of flack for this, but for some reason, I've just always thought that like a Mark IV Supra was just like the most beautiful car ever. And even today, you know, a 94 Toyota car is going for, you know, a clean example, you know, over $100,000. So for a road car, it'd probably be a Mark IV Toyota Supra.
Cool.
Road car, I'm more in the, or for a race car, probably like a GT3 RS, a Porsche GT3 RS.
There you go. He's over at Lime Rock this weekend when IMSA was there. It's about an hour from us, and I work the big events over there, and those, the Porsches, the Lamborghinis, the Maseratis racing, they're just insane. Those cars are gorgeous.
Yeah, when we went to the first Music City Grand Prix, I'm like, all right, well, I've raced a lot of these cars in iRacing, right? Like, let's. Mm-hmm. I kind of really want to hear, you know, how well did iRacing get all those sounds right? You know,
yeah.
Not gonna lie, when the Mercedes AMG comes through, it is amazing.
Yeah,
that car just sounds really, really gnarly.
Yeah, and I think iRacing overall has done a pretty good job on getting the cars right.
Yeah, I would agree with that because the BMW GT car sounds like a tin can with bees in it, and it did in real life too, so I was pretty shocked.
Oh, that's funny. My favorite street car has always been a Corvette. If I had to pick something to drive, I could kind of go like for the Xfinities, like you, one of you guys did there, or the 87s. I remember the first time when the 87s came out, I was driving it at, I want to say, Michigan. And the only thing I could say about that car was it felt like the first time a 16-year-old kid took his grandfather's boat of a Pontiac Bonneville out on the road. You just, it's like steering a boat. You can't steer it. You point it in the direction and hope it goes where you want it to. And
oh yeah,
ran that on iRacing and it was great.
Yeah. One of the cool things was before we did the Kenny Wallace thing, we did the Rusty Wallace one at the Nashville Super mm-hmm. Speedway. This was years before they NASCAR came back to it. And,
oh, that's cool.
We had a lot of fun doing that. It was me, Eric, and our dad. So we had a good time, you know, running around that track. And it just so happened, I don't know, 5 years, what, four or 5 years later now, I decided to come back.
Yeah.
So we've kind of got to drive some cool race cars, at least, we, you know, through those kinds of ordeals. And
yeah.
If anybody's never done it or was on the fence, I would recommend you do it. It was a blast.
That's cool. The fastest I've ever gone in a race car was at the 6 hours of the Glen. I want to say it was 3 years ago now. My son and I had tickets to go anyway, so I entered the WeatherTech contest on Facebook, and we got two tickets to go to their hospitality tent and all the food and all the booze you could drink all day long. And that's where, I don't know, a lot of the elite racers and teams go hang out too. But I also got a ride in the new Supra going around the track, and I got it on video, and it was such a rush. I was laughing the whole time, but the driver was narrating, and we're coming up getting out of the S's on Watkins Glen and going down the back stretch, and he goes, we're coming to the back stretch, and we're at 140 miles an hour. Here comes the bus stop. Whoa, we're doing 80. The G-force from going from 140. Oh, it was great. the guy was so cool. And it was a couple weeks later when IMSA was at Lime Rock. I see him. I go, going to take me out today? And he goes, no. So it was fun going 100. And this was the street car. It wasn't the Xfinity car. We had no helmets. You just sign a little waiver and you get in and strap yourself in and hope the guy knows how to drive 140 miles an hour.
So. Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
It was fun. Sim racing. Let's get into the sim racing end of things here. Oh, by the way, you guys have got we got 9 live viewers. That's quite a few for this episode. Like I was telling you earlier today, I'll get one or two that watch, but when it gets uploaded and I post the links overnight, there's like 30 or 40. So you've got 9 people watching us live there. So thanks to everybody that's out there. Jump in on the chat and let us know where you're watching from. And if you got any questions or any dirt on these two you want to spill, I'd be glad to hold them hostage for a while. You're listening or watching the Sim Racing Podcast. We've got Justin Thaler and Alec Thaler from Midwest Motorsports, and we do what we do every week on here. We just talk racing. So let's get into sim racing. Eric, when did you start sim racing? On what platform and what type of wheel?
Yeah, sure. I actually started somewhere around, 2019, 2018. I had an itch for it, you know, to do something, and actually didn't have internet at the place I'm at now. Uh-huh. At the time, and we couldn't even get it. So, you know, I had an Xbox, and you know, I bought the NASCAR Heat, and you know, just did the old career thing there for a while. And
yep.
You know, thankfully, I was able to get internet late 2020. They come through and run some fiber, and I was able to get it. And you know, I continued to do the Xbox thing. I joined the league in it. It was great, but it just wasn't, you know, amazing, right?
Right.
I had a play seat and a Logitech, I think it's a G920, you know, to start off with.
Yep.
And, you know, as soon as I got internet and, you know, went through a whole season of heat with a bunch of guys, you know, I felt the itch to do the iRacing thing. Mm-hmm. I knew it was out there. So I jumped head first. I built a computer, never built one day in my life,
built one.
And, you know, set everything up there and started to do officials, you know, and again, mm-hmm. I'm still, you know, in this, play seat and G920 and whatnot. And, you know, I'm starting to do officials and, you know, I'm starting to really catch that bug, you know.
Oh yeah. It's starting, I know what that feels like.
In the iRacing deal. So, you know, from there, I upgraded to a 80-20 rig with a Fanatec belt-driven wheelbase and some V3 pedals. And, you know, I went head first into triples and all that.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've since upgraded to a DD1, but... you know, it was about 21 or so. I guess I had, convinced Justin to get into it. You know, I had always had that aspiration from being in that other league.
Yep.
You know, to create my own, you know, I saw what they had and some of the downfalls of it. And also, you know, some things that they did great. And then racing in officials, you know, I just didn't have that competitiveness that you have week to week racing the same people.
The same
right?
people, yes.
And that's that I really, really caught that itch to create our own our own league and that's cool. When I kind of reeled Justin into it. Before we even got into iRacing, we were running a race we were running in a league in a set of Corso that was based over in England. And mm-hmm. You know, we'd race, I think it was like 2 or 3 PM on Sundays.
Yep.
You know, we enjoyed the crap out of that league. That league was a lot of fun. But
yeah, those are fun.
You know, after moving over to iRacing, we kind of gave it the best of both worlds. So
there you go.
But you know, that's where we're at now. Still have the 80/20 rig and my V3 pedals, but a DD1 now. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. Oh, you got the Club Sport V3s you got?
Yeah.
I got the same ones. I still have the Logitech G920 wheel. I love it for what I do, but I did get rid of the crappy pedals that came with it. And I tell you, the Club Sport pedals are amazing.
Oh yeah,
so much improved my racing. So, Justin, you kind of had the same pathway as your brother getting into iRacing there.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it was right before. It was kind of an early birthday gift, but I guess he was in cahoots with my wife on, egging her on to get me it, and I'm glad he did. She's probably not as happy. I pretty much started on the Logitech G920 with a play seat and the same thing on Xbox, and pulled Eric. I knew he was doing the NASCAR thing on his Xbox, but I'm like, yeah, road racing is really cool. Like, there's this league I'm in. Like, you should try and think about joining it. So, we ran some races. We made a really good friend in Ben Litherland. He actually jumped to iRacing, I think, before either of us had. And, we talk every now and then. He's like, no, mate, I'm on iRacing tonight and this and that. And, you know, we kind of reconnected with him and told him what we were trying to do, and he was kind of with us from the start when we created the league. But
that's cool.
I went from the play seat, and I found some positives, some negatives about it, and I went online and I was looking at all these mods you can do with 3D printing, some reinforcement brackets and stuff that. So kind of got into that, and it all just snowballed from there. Now I'm in an 80/20, and I have triple monitors as well, and all Fanatec stuff. I have the CFL DD with the boost kit, and it's a great package right now. They were having a huge sale. I think you could get a wheel, the 8-meter CFL DD, and then the CFL pedals for like $600. And
wow, that's a good deal.
I bought mine out of the rip, and I'm like, well, I wish I would have had the one I paid for it, because it was not that much. But it's just, there's so much you can always kind of, you're always finding things online. You know, if you're looking at different kind of PC stuff or sim racing gear related stuff, there's just so much, and it's like, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go?
Exactly.
I still have plenty of plans. You know, I'd like to get a button box and probably get that, and I'll probably be about done, and once I have some other plans, but probably the last thing I would need is just to upgrade the wheelbase probably to a stronger direct drive, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, I've got a button box. I didn't want to get one of those electric ones. What I did is I just ordered the little mini keypad. Basically it's like, it's just got numbers on it. I think there's like 12 buttons, and it connects USB to the computer, and it sits right on top of my computer. I can reach it, and I've got all the tire change information, you know, left side 4 with gas or left side with 4 gallons or a splash, quick repair and all that, and a couple of functions for the league, like clearing black flags or throwing questions, and that works fine for me. It was like $15 because you see some of those fancy ones with all the fancy lights on them. No, that would drive me crazy during the race.
I've been there's this one I watched. I'm not sure if on YouTube if you've ever watched Dave Cameron
on occasion,
but he's got a lot of great videos. He's a big iRacing streamer, but he does a lot of product reviews too. And there's one that Precision Sim Engineering makes. It has about 20 buttons. It's got a couple of rotaries on it, but the cool thing is I think you link it through SimHub, Eric, is one of the background.
Yep.
So you can tie it to SimHub, so that will actually become like your green flag, yellow flag, blue flag. It'll
illuminate
maybe the left side if there's a car to your left. So I think I'd like to get that one just because I think outside of just a full button box, there's a lot more, you know, value to it.
Oh, sure. There's a lot more you can do
in that aspect, you know, because you can see when it's, you know, the white flag and things like that. I think it's pretty cool if you look it up. It seems pretty legit.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I run SimHub for my backgrounds. I've got the tire wear on it, fuel load, because I can make it a lot bigger than what's on the dashboard, and also the leaderboard, and then a little thing with the track on it. Now, the worst thing I'm at is remembering where pit road is. Remember, it's a 60-year-old thing going on here. And what I do is before the race or like during the week, I will practice, you know, making pit stops, and then I'll take a little piece of white tape and put it right on the track overlay. And so when I'm coming around, I know about where that is. Cause like a place like Bristol, okay, Bristol looks the same on all four corners, and I forget if I got to do the inside one or that one. So it's funny. So I said, hey, I'm going to put a little piece of tape on there, and I don't feel bad doing it, because when I was at the IMSA race at Watkins Glen, walking through the paddock, a lot of the cars had a little paper diagram of the track so the drivers could try to figure out where they were on it. So I'm saying, I don't feel bad.
Hey, that's a great idea, actually. I mean, I've been in officials, in the NIS, and people try to pit on a green flag, and, you know, they completely either miss pit road or, you know, wind up smashing the wall trying to enter it. But
yeah.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
Greg.
or if you're in traffic and you can't see your, you know, your braking point or your pull off point, because normally on some of the tracks you just look for the big Sunoco sign, but if you've got if it's not a track where you can't see the Sunoco sign until it's too late, and you're looking for, you know, a mark on the inside or on you know, on the inside line, so that's another reason I did it, because sometimes you're racing in traffic, you can't see it, and you'll drive right by it. Okay, so let's get into some of the series. So you've got four different series going on: Road Series, Xfinity, Truck, and Cup. So let's start with the Midwest Road Series. I got your logo up here. Tell me what that is about, and what cars you race. Any setup information, iRacing caps, safety rating caps, etc., like that, about your Road Series and what night you run it.
Sure. So we'll actually be going into, I believe, our fifth season of the Road Series here. Our last race of the season is actually next Tuesday. So the last couple of years, we raced the Formula 3 car, which has been a ton of fun. Just a really fun car to drive. A little tricky at times.
Yeah.
But we race every, this season we implemented a couple off weeks, but all that's kind of detailed in the schedule and when you initially sign up for the league. But finishing up the Tuesday nights, server opens at 7 o'clock. We do 1 hour races. So what we do is, I think this is going to go for the every series that we have here. So what we do is actually allow our league members to vote on anything from the car to the track, what tracks they want to add, what tracks they want to drop, different format changes, and
that's
everything.
That's a good idea.
So this season we were doing some things that some guys really weren't keen on. You know, they were still running races, but we would actually have some sprint races. So we'd have our sprint qualifying. So a 10-minute open qualifying session, so everybody's out there trying to, you know, flame out their fastest lap with traffic to manage and things like that. So a little bit of strategy,
cool.
Which, I think is pretty fun when it comes to qualifying as well. So we go on sprint weeks, we would go right into a 20-minute sprint race. So basically the format for this season was the top eight would score points from the sprint race, and then we would invert the entire grid for the feature. So it made it a lot more challenging for those faster guys. You know, how fast can you be, but how can you manage through traffic and make clean overtakes?
Yeah.
And they're longer races. So, you know, what's that risk reward as well?
Cool.
But season's coming to an end. So we the admin team here came up with some great options, and our league members actually decided that next season we're going to run the GT4 class. So,
oh, awesome.
We're going good gearing up for that, but we've seen a lot of growth. At one point, I think we peaked at 48 drivers for the Formula 3 series.
That's pretty good.
Which was huge. I mean,
yeah,
this takes a lot of time and effort from mm-hmm. from basically anybody who has any type of admin role or a role within a league to help build, because when you look at it, I mean, there's countless leagues out there, right?
Yep.
And we kind of found our niche with the F3, and I was glad that we were able to grow that, and it's such a really, really cool community. Of drivers we have in our road series, and you know, everybody in Midwest, regardless of if you run trucks or Cup Xfinity, are more than welcome to join. But yeah, next season it's going to be interesting. We're still going to do some sprint races. We're going to invert the league voted to invert the top 10 and not the entire field.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some changes. The setups we utilize, we're always going to be a fixed setup league, in my opinion.
Okay.
You know, your average goes, we just can't sit down and practice 3 hours a night, you know.
Oh, yeah, no.
Every week for this one track. So,
yeah.
we'll always be a fixed setup league, but mm-hmm. what we do is we do a lot of fuel load testing to see how we can force pits.
Mm-hmm.
So the admin team helps me out doing that. So we're pretty much ready to go for the GT4 class. We'll release the sign up to our internal members initially, and then we'll begin recruiting here in probably a week after next to start, you know, getting some new members in. And we actually brought in a broadcaster who approached us offering his services to us.
Oh, cool.
He actually broadcasts our truck series on Fridays and our road series on Tuesdays, which has been awesome.
And who's that broadcaster?
James. He reached out to us on Reddit, actually, and he said, hey, I'm interested, because I guess I'm kind of getting off the rails on the whole road chat, but Eric, if you want to jump in any time, but we've been looking for a broadcaster, and our philosophy has kind of always been, you know, we want somebody to become a member of our team.
Sure.
Learn our league, grow with the league, you know,
yep.
Have input on the league and things like that. Learn who our drivers are.
Okay.
And have that interaction and have that real voice, rather than, you know, pay for a broadcast this week and somebody else next week and so forth the week after that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, the admin team funds everything out of pocket. We're a free league to join. We mm-hmm. never ask for money outright. We accept donations and such, but all that money goes straight into running the league, paying for sessions and different accounts that we have to pay to run and things like that.
Oh, it's expensive.
James approached us, and we linked up with him. He hung out with us for about a week.
Cool.
And I think we had to kind of play nice, because we're like, we don't want to run this guy off, you know? He's been an awesome fit, and he is just so willing to just put it out there, and he'll tell you straight up, like, hey, I'm not good. I'm not the best. I'm like, dude, we don't have anybody else. We can't tell you how to do it. You do how you want to do it.
Sure.
You know, you're going to be the voice of our race sessions, and you need to be comfortable and
sure.
and whatever suggestions you have. I mean, we're not going to impede on what your thoughts are when it comes to broadcasting. And it's kind of funny. If you listen to like his first couple, you know, you can tell he's a little gun shy, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's kind of talking about this, and then there might be a little pause, and then you kind of fast forward to these last couple, and you can hear that animation in his voice. And, he's just a really cool dude. I've appreciated getting to know him, and
cool. And
he's been a great, great asset and fit for us. So
yeah, well, we got somebody on the chat here. Oberholster 5 says James has been awesome. So has Colin, the cameraman.
Oh yeah, Colin as well. He's been with us for multiple seasons now.
Yeah,
yeah. He kind of volunteered. He's like, "Hey, I just want to run the cameras for the." And then up for the broadcast, we're like, all right. And James is like, that makes it so much easier on me. And Colin came up with all this. I mean, we have affiliate links with like Track Racer, so it's really not a direct discount to the purchaser, mm-hmm. but we do get a small percentage back. So anything we do receive back from that obviously goes back into the league as well.
Yeah,
but he's got cool. great replays and camera angles and different overlays with the QR codes that'll show up on our screens and everything. So he's brought a lot to kind of really polish that.
That sounds really cool.
You know, that presentation of our races. So it's been really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing that crew has put together has been beyond my imagination and expectation of what that would be. And, you know, I can't thank them enough for,
yeah, that's awesome.
For the work that they do for this league and the publicity they brought to it, just from a sheer factor of just a couple guys just having fun doing it and, man, they're doing an awesome job.
That's so, what it's all about.
You know, publicly, I want to thank them. You know,
sure.
from obviously from the bottom of my heart, because this league is something that we appreciate and think a lot of. So.
Yeah. Well, we got another comment on the chat line from Rivenvale or Rivenvale, also congratulating those guys. Thumbs up for James and Colin. They have truly gone above and beyond. That's the comment from Rivenvale.
So I wanted to wait maybe until we could thank the admins, but I do want to preface everything we said with what Rivenvale is Joshua, and the guy has truly gone above and beyond, and we rely on, he really kind of laid the foundation for all of our streaming capabilities, and he was really the one that upward trend, and I don't want him to feel left out, and he deserves the recognition.
Sure.
Because we all kind of will chime him up and be like, hey, we're not sure about this. And he's like, no, I've already looked at it. So it's amazing how quick and his knowledge base when it comes to a lot of this stuff is, because we'd probably be completely lost without
him. Oh, yeah. I've,
yeah, he's our,
go ahead.
He's our personal Midwest Google.
There you go. I was like two career paths I had chosen for whatever reason years ago in like junior high school. One, I wanted to be landscape architect or something along that range, and then started hanging around radio stations when I was about 13. It's back when people actually listened to AM radio, and I absolutely loved radio, and I did 6 years of talk radio in the early 2000s up here in New York. But the TV end, I've done TV a little bit, but let me tell you, it's so much easier to sit behind a microphone and talk and not have to worry about running the cameras. So kudos to anybody that can run the cameras instead of just sitting behind a microphone. It's a totally different world.
Absolutely.
So you said streaming. Where are your races broadcast on? What streaming formats, or YouTube, Facebook, or like that? Where do you broadcast to?
So that's all on. We broadcast live on Twitch. Every single one of ours, and then all the replays will be uploaded to YouTube sometime after, usually a couple of days after that mm-hmm. race. Josh will handle all that back end work to get our Twitch stream up to YouTube. And then our Friday night truck series, and then our Tuesdays right now feature Colin and James in the booth doing the live broadcast.
Cool. Let's jump to the Xfinity series. In case you're just jumping in, this is the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreiss. Our guests tonight are Justin and Eric Thaler from Midwest Rope Motorsports. We're talking iRacing, racing in general, and we're talking about their four series, the Road Series, Xfinity, Truck, and Cup Series. And I want to thank everybody for joining in. We've got a pretty steady viewership and some chat going on, which normally doesn't happen on the live broadcast. You usually get feedback a couple days later. So your Xfinity series, let's talk about that. What night does that run? And I would assume that's also fixed. And how long does that season run?
Yeah. Xfinity series, we run that Saturday nights. We open the practice around 6 p.m. Eastern. Do a quick driver's meeting about quarter after, and then we're qualifying by 6:20 typically. And then obviously our race will follow after qualifying. But our Xfinity Series currently is a 40% fuel load. It is fixed. Our track lengths, our race lengths do differ a little bit from track to track. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, a super speedway versus a short track or a an intermediate or something of that nature. But, we have two tire set limits on these cars. So, you'll start off with a fresh set and then you'll have two in the pits to change during the race.
Okay. That's what we're doing in the 802 this year.
Yeah. It brings a little, a little extra strategy to it. We've had a lot of fun doing that. And, our Xfinity series and also our truck series are pretty much mimic, maybe a little bit, the track lengths are a little bit shorter for the trucks, but as far as what I'm talking about, they're pretty mimicked. We do have two fast repairs in each and
that's
and,
what we
and
do.
Whatnot. Yeah. We do have a max I rating in Xfinity of 2750.
Okay.
The way we build our ovals is we wanted it to be more or less a progression.
Sure.
If you think about it from a real life standpoint, right? From moving from truck to Xfinity to Cup or whatnot, mm-hmm. but we don't limit anybody's access to Xfinity or truck. It's once you hit that cap rating, we're just saying, hey, maybe you need to jump into the higher series here, right?
Yeah, that's kind of similar thing we do. We got a 2500 I rating cap. But if you go over it during the season, you're allowed in. And if you start, getting up in the threes and the fours, then we tell you, well, you either got to pay to race or give us lessons, something like that, or start a new league there. We also do the two tire changes. We were 100% fuel. We're going to be racing Richmond this year, this weekend. So I think we cut that back to 60. And the two tire changes in only three sets, when you're doing 140 laps at Atlanta like we did last Sunday on the old Atlanta, oh my gosh, you have really got to learn to save your tires. We do run one comp caution at about the 40% mark because we got a lot of brand new drivers. And we don't want anybody after, 40 laps of or 60 laps of 170 lap race to feel, left out if they're on their second quick repair and they've made a mistake like that. And this past weekend that was at lap 60. So it was insane driving on Atlanta for 60 laps on tires. It was with only three to choose from. So it got really dicey during that point. So like, you're right. It does make an extra, strategy session that you got to have there. So, and that's also, is that race also broadcast Xfinity?
Yeah, we throw them up. They'll go through the stream and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We do not have a live commentator for
sure.
Xfinity or our Cup series, but, we do broadcast it, so folks can go back and watch it or,
yep.
maybe they have a friend or family member that may want to watch it while they're in the room racing. So, mm-hmm. We do throw that up just to, just to put that immersion into it as well. So,
sure. It's amazing.
Something we've always done. And that was where we started with, what Josh started for us. So,
yeah, it's amazing how you get this casual drivers like me and that on our Discord, like, is this race going to be broadcast? Well, they are all the time. Y'all give me the link because they send it out to their families. And then, they get their father watching on the other side of the country and their grandparents and their people at work. And so one guy said, he goes, what's this iRacing thing? He goes, here's a link, turn it on and watch what we do. And then they ended up getting a few people from that he worked with that joined the league as well.
That's awesome.
So how do you,
yeah, that is awesome.
How's your point structure in Xfinity?
So we do a normal point system, first place gets 43, so on and so forth. The one thing that we do differently and we haven't, I wouldn't say mastered it yet, but we haven't found our niche to, what we like yet,
mm-hmm.
Is we're running we're running stages in each of our oval series. So we're currently running stages, and we haven't hit that, I guess, point system that works for us in the stage side. So
gotcha.
We do a reset we're calling it a chase. So come our chase, we do a reset where everybody's reset to 1,000 points, and then we tack on any stage points that they've had, you know, throughout the regular season.
Gotcha. Okay.
The series winner for the regular season gets an extra 5 bonus points, you know, towards that chase and whatnot too. Mm-hmm. You know, last season, we did, first top 5, in each stage, you know, got points and, yep. And, you know, again, that was our first time, you know, running a stage, type race. And, you know, we kind of felt that the winner wasn't, you know, making out at this point because there wasn't, you know, any benefit to winning the race. It was, you know, not the same amount of points for winning a stage. So, you know, this season, when we put it up for vote, you know, a lot of the drivers had, you know, voted that we needed to give more points to, you know, the race winner rather than the stage winners and whatnot. So, this season we played around a little bit and, only are giving chase points to the winners of the stages. They get 1 point each, and then the race winner gets 2. You know, but come the end of this season, which will be sometime in September, we'll obviously put it to a revote and see what the drivers want. Not to sway anybody that may be listening, but I'd like to go back to a little more variety for stage points, you know, rather than the winners. So hopefully we can swing them that way. But you know, we try to do, you know, what our drivers want and you know what their opinions are of the series and what they feel should be the best direction. But you know, again, we're still trying to play with some things.
Sure.
You know, we're heading into season 6, which will probably start in mid-October. And our winter series is what we kind of tend to call it, is a little longer. So we'll run that one until sometime towards the end of April or so.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, just because people are cooped up in their house and whatnot during the winter. So we try to run that one a little longer. But you know, like I said, we try to do our best to make it exciting and you know, eventful and you know, make it as fair as possible from a point standpoint. And you know, I hope we can get that chase situation and stage points figured out for next season. But you know, I think it's put in a different mix into, you know, rolling in this year. You know, we'll see what happens. Our chase will start after this weekend, actually. So,
oh, cool.
We'll see what the shuffle is after we reset.
Great. This is the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreiss. Tonight's guests are Eric and Justin Thaler from Midwest Motorsports. We're talking their 4 series and broadcasting and anything iRacing. So now we're going to jump to the Midwest Truck Series. So give me the scoop on that. What night do you run there? How many trucks do you have average in each race? And take it away.
Yeah, I mean, this has turned into our bread and butter. Actually, we're running Friday nights, 9:30 Eastern. Got a max a 2,000 I rating, 40% fuel load on these trucks as well. 2 sets of tires, 2 fast repairs. You know, like I said, this has kind of turned into our bread and butter. We get the most activity in the series. We'll field somewhere between 28 and 20 trucks a night. It's put on some good racing. You know, this is again, one of the races that James does broadcast for us live. You know, it's something that, you know, we look forward to, you know, coming in on you know, after a long week and sitting down in the sim chair and you know, hitting the track with a truck. It's been a lot of fun.
I love trucks.
But, you know.
So you've been, and has, do you have a playoff format, or how does your championship points work for that?
Yep, same rules, you know, applies as the Xfinity. You know, we're running stages with these as well. Typically our stages are 25% of the race is first stage, and then the other 25% is the second stage. We will be putting out a vote come next season, because we're doing something in Cup, which I'll get to here in a second, but that basically resembles the actual stages that they run in you mm-hmm. know, the actual series. But you know, we've been doing that since we started trucks back in season 4, and you know, it's been working out for us, and like I said, this has been, you know, pretty much our premiere, you know, since season 4, and cool. we've been getting the most participation in it. And, you know, the drivers are clean, and, you know, they've been, very active and whatnot. And, you know, it's truly a fun series to run. So, you know, especially if you're new to the, you know, oval racing and whatnot, yep. the truck seems to be the better one to handle of the three. And, mm-hmm. you know, puts on some pretty decent racing when
it does
to, some mile and a half and stuff. And again, with the tire strategies, you know, that we have in play, really, really makes it interesting at the end when, you know, you got a caution thrown and there's 15 laps left and, you know, you're out of tires, but there's three people behind you that got a set left.
That's true.
You know, it definitely puts in a little bit of a pucker factor there, but, you know, it can be fun and you know, some new winners prevail every once in a while.
There you go. Hey, before we jump to the final series of Cup Series, tell me about your social media strategy, Discord. You mentioned you had somebody who does social media for you. How do you set that up? How do you promote, and who does that for you?
So, was it before this season, or was it last season? We've kind of
last season.
Yeah, Dustin Reinstedtl's been with us for a while, just as another member of ours, and he would always kind of throw up, you know, some post-race screenshots, so he'd, you know, manipulate the cameras and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and come up with all this cool stuff. And Eric kind of created the website for us, and I'm like, all right, well, we kind of maybe need like a Twitter account, so started a Twitter and a Reddit account, and Eric was running the Instagram account for a while, and we kind of said, let's see if Dustin would be interested in doing this, and he's just taken off, gone crazy with it. So he kind of manages all that, and he'll do like race updates. So you know, let's say for instance we're going to Homestead this week, you know, he'll have kind of a hype graphic mm-hmm. and stuff about the Cup Series will be at Homestead this weekend and catch the race live here and so forth like that. So we kind of lean on him to do a lot of our different banners, mostly for like recruiting and stuff. So he'll put together some cool graphics. Different graphic overlays and things like that for us. So
sounds good. Well, in the first time chat line, CJ Pish says, "Let's go, Eric," with a checkered flag after that.
Let's see, the girlfriend or something.
Okay. Tonight's guests are Justin and Eric Thaler. They own and operate the Midwest Motorsports League with a whole cadre of people supporting them, it sounds like. And this is the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreiss. Speaking of graphics, I want to tell you about DTL Custom Graphics and Design. It's Dave Lomaga, one of our admins in the 802 Cup Series. He does all our graphics, does some paints for people, and also does some custom graphics on the side. I also want to tell you about Joe Sixpack Racing. That's my racing team on the 802 Cup Series. Always looking for new drivers to join there. So Justin and Eric, your Cup Series, it sounds like it's the premier oval series, correct?
Yeah, it's one that we intend to be our premiere. We've been running this one since the birth of Midwest Water Sports on Sunday nights around 7 p.m. Eastern. We switched to the next-gen car. Oh, gosh, I guess it was around season. It may have been last year we switched to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we switched to it, you know, beforehand we were running the Gen 6. But this is one that, you know, we're asking basically the best of the best to come in, you know. This is where we want, you know, members to have at least a B-class license with a minimum of 1,200 I rating to join. Or some sort of past experience in Midwest motorsports, sure. You know, whether it be Xfinity or trucks, mm-hmm. you know, we do give them, you know, the ability to join after you know, a half season or something like that. But, you know, we basically want to make sure that we're bringing in people that are running clean and,
right.
you know, can put on a little bit of competitive nature, you know, to the series. We do have a max I rating in this one, a 3,500. And one thing I set out with this one to do this year is I kind of mimicked what the stage breaks were in the actual series, in the actual Cup series, you know, that runs on Sundays. We're running 50% race length, you know, so if we were to go to, you know, a Charlotte, for instance, you know, we're going to run 50% of what they actually run for the 600.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to take those stages that they run during the 600 and we're going to, you know, cut those in half too, you know, to actually mimic what they do,
sure.
you know, in real strategy.
Got it.
One thing we did this season was we stuck unlimited tire sets on this car, you know, to kind of see what kind of strategy would unveil here, you know, with having unlimited tires. Next year we may play around with, you know, doing, you know, again, maybe half the tire sets that they actually get at the tracks. So,
yeah.
You know, that's my goal for this series come mm-hmm. next year. But we do run one fast repair in this series. Again, we're trying to promote, you know, really clean driving and a little bit of competitive nature along with it.
Sure.
When it comes to the Cup series. But, you know, again, this one kind of starts at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. And, you know, from the birth of the league, we've been starting on we started on Sundays from the get-go. We actually started this league with the
legacy truck.
Yeah, the legacy Silverado.
Oh,
and,
wow!
And we did all the free tracks and you know we're running
mm-hmm. every track with a Bristol.
Yeah, we're running Concord with a Bristol setup and
yep, I've done that.
We had a lot of fun with it, but
yeah.
As soon as season two came, we got to do something different.
Yeah,
so we actually gained a lot of members through doing that, and, mm-hmm. and some that have stuck with us from day one. But
that's cool.
You know, as a league, and I'm sure you know it, Greg. Like you got to be patient. You got to be patient as you grow and you have to work through the growing pains because, you know, you're going to make some bad decisions every once in a while.
Sure.
The thing I've learned is you got to own it and
yep.
you got to move on. And you know, we've been very thankful for, you know, all of our members that, you know, have stuck with us through all the growths and that we've had and the expansions that we've had and whatnot. And, you know, even the growth that we continue to have. So, you know, again, I can't say anything more than, you know, the patience is really what grows.
That is so true. Yep. Do you find, your biggest, of course, season one is always an experiment. I was running three leagues at once a couple of years ago, and I found that going into season three was the make it or break it as far as longevity of the league.
It's you get all kinds of people, personalities and everything else. And I mean, I tell, you know, I said this from our very first week of our F3 series of this season we're about to finish, that, you know, the league voted on, you know, only the top 10 drivers will 4 points, similar to the F1 format. So we had a grid of 22, 23 cars, and only 10 are getting points. And, you know, people are saying, oh, this driver's off pace and this driver's off pace or this, that. And I'm like, look, you know, as long as they're clean, like, the speed will come.
Right.
And once you kind of get your race craft going, and, you know, from a road, you know, I kind of manage the roadside primarily. And in my opinion, you know, we don't care how fast or slow you are. If you're clean and you understand racing etiquette, then, you know, we have a really awesome community here that we're, guys are throwing up practice sessions for 3 hours before the start of the race and talking about how to improve. And we have a team set up on Garage 61, so you can look at people in our league. You can look at their telemetry and kind of compare and see where you may be able to pick up some time and things like that.
You know,
to me, racing cleaner is more advantageous of being faster, especially when you're racing against guys week after week.
Especially on a road course, slower is better. Slower is faster on a road course.
And guys, you know, it's no fun when you get a guy, you know, blow your doors off and you find your lap. But if you're not, you know, causing problems and things like that, you know, you try and just continue to build them up. And
sure,
I feel like we really have that community here, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. I absolutely love racing road courses, but I tell you, I suck. As far as I'm not going to tell you how low my I rating is on it. I just, I just love to do it. And, it says, on the chat line here, they even let dad race. How cool is that?
We kind of strong armed dad into joining I racing.
That's fun.
When I upgraded to my DD1, you know, I gave him my belt driven, Fanatec and whatnot, and Justin and I built him a PC, and you know, he's now got triples and whatnot too. So, you know, that's you know, he's the reason we're kind of doing this. Unfortunately,
that is fun. So hey, this has been a lot of information that's been going out there. So you're going to get a lot of guys from my leagues that are going to be watching and picking up a lot of extra views and such like that. If somebody wants to join or get in touch with you, what I've got up here now is your promo piece for the Midwest Sports Oval Series recruiting page, which looks really cool. How does somebody get in touch with you guys if they want to join? Like your website, you mentioned Instagram, you mentioned Twitter, Discord, etc. So what's the best way to get a hold of you guys if you want to join?
Go ahead, Justin.
So it's directly right on our website, midwest-motorsports.com. There's a sign up tab there. It's three easy steps. All you have to do is fill out the sign up form. So there's a road, review the rules, and then you'll click to sign up for Cup Xfinity Trucks or the Road Series. Then you just need to join, apply for that league within the iRacing user interface. We have links to each one of those on the website. And then the last thing to do is to join our Discord. So it's really important that all three of those steps get done. You know, we do get some guys who apply to the league within iRacing, and we try and scramble to try and direct them, you know, to get the sign up done, because on the sign up, you know, that's where we're going to assign you're going to be able to pick your manufacturer and your number and so forth. And, you know, the Discord is where pretty much everything takes place. So everything you need to know about the league and race sign up and things like that is all going to be handled within our Discord. So, just those three, we feel like they're pretty simple steps.
Cool. Yeah. We're on Facebook. I got the Instagram for the podcast, but most everything we promote on Facebook, and the official communications vehicle, if you got to use the $5 words, is the Discord channel. It's just so easy to go back and forth on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have obviously you can reach out to us on any of our social media platforms, and mm-hmm. we'll get it funneled to the guys who handle getting our drivers registered. But yeah, as long as we see everything's good to go, then everybody will. Yeah, when you've completed those steps for your sign up, we'll get you in. If not, we'll reach out to you and try and get it squared away as quickly as possible.
Cool.
Yeah, and any questions, you know, if there is any questions or whatnot during the sign up process, you can always email us, you know, MidwestMotorsportsiRacing@google.com. All of us admin pretty much keep up with that mailbox. Yeah, so
that's cool.
You know, we can definitely get back to you in a pretty quick manner there as well.
Now, do you have any trial period for new drivers? Like, are they on, you know, extra watch for X number of races until you can find out how they fit in? How does that work? Let's say if I join, is there like a trial period?
Yeah, not necessarily, Greg. You know, we bring them in and I don't want to say let them have at it, but we let them race around us, and yeah. The one thing that may be a little different about our league is we run an incident per lap review after mm-hmm. every four races.
Okay.
So, you know, if you find yourself on that incident per lap list, which happens to be anything above, I believe it's a 0.12. You know, you'll wind up getting an EOL for the start of the race and every stage, until you can, you know, get yourself off of that.
Sure.
And then after that, you know, next four races, if unfortunately you continue to find yourself on the IPL, then you're getting a drive through, right? So, you know, that's something that we initiated back mm-hmm. in, let's see, last year, actually, again, season four, you know, something we stuck out there last year, and it's definitely seemed to promote clean racing and help people make some little better decisions, you know,
right.
as they, you know, approach corners and things. So,
yeah.
You know, again, it may be a little different, but, you know, we do just, if a new member comes in middle of season, we pull them in and we welcome them and, you know, let them compete.
Good.
Yeah. Not only that, but we do feature live race control for all of our series as well. So that helps out with
yep.
if, you know, there was some nefarious activity, then yeah. that can kind of be handled immediately.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. We don't do that yet. I think one of these years we might, but we do something similar with a penalty structure where, just pick something. I don't know what it is. Whatever the infraction is, you'll get an EOL for the race, and then if it happens three or four times, you're not allowed to qualify, or you have a couple of race suspension like that. But usually what I found happens is drivers who just either they're not good enough or can't have the good sportsmanship, they usually drop off pretty quick anyway before they cause too much trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we've seen that as well.
Yeah.
And you learn who you can race and how they race, and
that's
you yep. figure it out on the track.
There you go. Well, guys, a lot of information tonight. I'm glad we finally got this put together. So I want to thank Justin Thaler and Eric Thaler. Spinning my words together too. Justin Thaler and Eric Thaler. That shouldn't be a tongue twister, but somehow it's coming out like that. For Midwest Motorsports, thanks so much. They run the Road Series, Xfinity, Truck, Cup Series, broadcast live, pretty active social media platform. And just one last question, admins. How many admins do you have?
We have 9 or 10 admins.
Yep.
Yeah. So pretty much Justin is handling everything, you know, from registration and whatnot to running our road series. And I've, you know, been handling more or less the content of the league and
cool.
you know, just overseeing a bigger operation, I guess you could say, of it.
Yeah.
And then we have Josh Watt, who's again our resident Google, and Mm-hmm. You know, he's our brains behind how we created our broadcast and all that. And he does our race control for us on Sunday nights.
Oh, that's cool.
Justin Gleckner he runs our rules for our road series, and Steve Hansel runs our points for our road series. John Bates, does our scheduling for our oval series, which is a huge undertaking. And Anthony Castor, he does our rules for oval, and I couldn't have got a better guy to do it. You know, I'm pretty sure he sleeps with the rule book under his bed, but
that's a tough job.
Ben Lou Lynn's the fellow we were talking about that lives over in England. Most of this isn't possible, wouldn't be possible without him. He helped us when we started this league, creating our Discord and helping us kind of understand what Discord was and everything, yep. The ins and outs of it. But, you know, he had been running points for us for a long time. And then, of course, Dustin Reinstedtl does all of our social media, and couldn't ask for a better guy to do it. That's pretty much our admin team. And,
we want to thank each and every one of them for everything they do. And we lean on them quite a bit, and we ask them, hey, can you stick around for 10 minutes after the race? And it turns into like another hour after the race. And
there you go.
You're talking what ifs and let's try this and what about this. And everybody has really great ideas to bring to the table. It's just trying to come to an agreement on the best approach regarding that specific topic. So we really value all those guys a lot.
Cool. So once again, thank you, Justin Thaler and Eric Thaler from Midwest Motorsports. Great episode. You brought a lot of people to the chat line tonight, and good steady stream of viewers. And so I want to thank you guys for being on tonight. It's been a pleasure having you. Hope you'll think about coming back sometime next spring. Talk about your next season.
Absolutely, yeah. Greg. We'd love to. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
You too, Greg. Thanks.
Justin Thaler and Eric Thaler from Midwest Motorsports were our guests this evening on the Sim Racing Podcast with your host, myself, Greg Dreis. It'll be on Twitch.tv/Greg Dreis for 14 days before they kick it off to save storage space. But you can catch it on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and also the video will be up on YouTube. We'll get that there starting tonight and finishing it up this next couple days. Want to let you know you can catch the 802 Cup Series, which is on 6:45 p.m. on SCTV. This weekend, our theme is Toontown, where most every driver picks their favorite cartoon scheme, and looks like a comic book going around the track, and we let our broadcaster usually pick a favorite car like that. 802 Cup Series is sponsored by Riptide Radio. Riptide Radio is Carolina Shag. It's a different type of Margaritaville, as Jeff Barefoot would say in our league. It's Carolina beach music. It's a little bit of Motown, a little bit of jazz, a little bit of swing, and a whole lot of good time. DTL Customs Design and Graphics. Dave LaMaga, one of the admins in the 802 series, does a wonderful job on paint schemes, promotions for our league, etc. And again, we'll be at Richmond Raceway, 6:45 p.m. Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching. Until the next episode of the 802 Cup Series podcast Monday night, which will review the Richmond race and hopefully have a guest. Have yourselves a good weekend and a good week, and we'll catch you on the track.